Hello, and welcome back to another episode of How Very Hannah.
How Very Hannah. How Very Hannah. How Very Hannah. That's the name for my podcast show and your front row. So, How Very Hannah.
Hit the lights.
How Very Hannah.
That's too bright.
How Very Hannah.
That was all right.
How Very Hannah. No key change. Okay. It's my podcast show. Let's go.
Guys, I'm engaged. I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to intro that, so I thought I'd just show you. I'm engaged. Also, my nails match my jumper a little bit today. Anyway, back to the thing in question. Can we get maybe a little zoom? Wait, let me polish the ring with my finger. That's not right. Here's the ring. Are we doing a zoom in? Yes, baby, I'll give you my hand. Can you see that? Oh my gosh, so if you're watching, you'll be able to see a diamond ring on my wedding finger. But if you're not, there's a diamond ring on my wedding finger. So I'm going to tell the full engagement story in next week's episode, so make sure you tune in for that to get all the details from the proposal. But I'm now a fiancé. It still feels really weird to say, and I can't stop staring at my hand. I keep checking that the ring's still there, and I'm like, is she? Yep, she's cute. So enough about the engagement. We're going to get to it next week. Last night was my live show at the Other Palace in London, and I had the best night ever. Truly, we'll probably talk about it a bit more throughout the episode, but seeing, I don't know how many seats the Other Palace has, maybe like 350 seats, something like that, but seeing all those people just staring back at me and like so much support and love and staginess in that room, it honestly just, oh my God, it was the best feeling in the world. And I have so much fun doing these shows. Even though I get nervous and stressed, I have so much fun doing the actual show. So I just need to focus on the excitedness rather than the nervousness, which is the advice I always give to everyone when they're like, what are your tips for being nervous? Just channel it into excitement. So I took my own tip and I had such a great time. Honestly, it was amazing. If you didn't catch the London show and you're like, oh, but London's my closest venue, we do have a show in Brighton. So we've got Birmingham, Brighton and Manchester. So any of those shows are close to you and you still want to catch How Very Hannah live, then please book a ticket. We have some tickets available, a couple of tickets available for all of those venues. So make sure you book a ticket if you want to come, and I can't wait to see you there. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to my guests, plural, for today's episode. I followed my guests for today's show for a long time. OG social media couple. They share their life, they share their stagey history, their stagey future within their kids, and they're just all round incredible, lovely, lovely people. So I'm very, very pleased to welcome them to the studio today. And please welcome to the pod, Stuart and Francis!
Yay!
Hello!
A round of applause from the live studio audience. Thank you. Guys, welcome to How Very Hannah.
Oh, thank you.
So excited to be here.
So thank you so much for joining me. I've followed you for a long time. And so when you followed me, I was like, oh, guys, I'm fangirling. Because you're stagey. And this is what we love to see on social media. We love the stagey people.
And I feel like we've got more stagey over the last few years.
Yeah. The older we get, the more stagey we get.
The stagey bones start coming out. So where did you guys meet?
So we met. So we both went to the same drama school, ArtsEd.
See, stagey. Yes.
But we went at different times. So I actually graduated and I met these two people on my first ever professional job. Gigi at Regent's Park Open Air Theatre.
Oh my God, that was your first ever job at Regent's Park?
Yeah.
That's a coveted job.
His whole CV is, honestly.
And there was two friends there, one called Zoe, one called Rachel, and they were like, oh, I know Stuart. Do you know Stuart? Oh, he's so fun. I love Stuart. He's so fun. And then we kept like missing each other. And then there was this occasion where I met him at these like leaving drinks. And I looked at him over the table. I was like, oh,
it was a really long table.
A really long table.
You were staring. He's got quite big eyes. And I could really feel, I could feel the intensity.
And he was there with his like blonde locks. And I just went over to him and said, hi, I'm Francis. I feel like you're famous. I've heard so much about you. And Stuart, that was the winning line, I think.
Yeah, I just loved it.
Me? Famous?
Okay, me. Stuart's goal in life is always to be famous.
Well, you've made it because you're on How Very Hannah. So I've seen lots of content around Starlight Express.
Yes.
Which one of you did, or was it both?
Me. No,
so
just
you
me.
Did Starlight Express in Bochum.
Loved. No, oh. UK tour.
Twice.
Oh my gosh.
It bookended my career. It was like my first job and my last job.
Wait, so you did it once in what year?
2006 to 7.
And then who did you play?
Caboose, and I covered Elektra. the first year.
God, and yes, then I was Queen.
And then I went back and then I went in Caboose cover Rusty. And that's when I loved. I just loved playing Rusty so much.
So did you get to go on quite a lot?
Yeah,
Rusty?
Yeah. I was first cover Rusty.
And it was quite funny.
It was like my dream come true.
I went to see him. He was amazing. But they had like small ramps because it was a touring production. And I knew that Stuart didn't like doing the ramps. So he used to like go up the
really just like a little small one.
Wait, so yeah, I imagine touring a show
as
on skates is a whole different...
Yeah, it's the thing is, it was like a flat stage with a two ramps. So we didn't really get to experience like Starlight in its true form.
Yeah.
I'd have loved to have done like Bochum. I went to go and see it in Bochum and it is insane. Yeah. Like it's a totally different experience.
Well, they've got like purpose built...
Yeah, it is incredible. Have you
stadium.
Been?
Stadium. I've not been to Bochum and something I also haven't seen it. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Oh my God,
you?
It's so good.
So
good. Our little boy,
he loves it. We snuck him in. He wasn't quite three, but we were like, let's get him in.
Yeah, he's three, I swear. Don't look at social media.
They did come up to us and say, is he three? He's like,
But it was really, really good.
He's been twice. He loves it so much.
Well, hopefully his stagey bones will start to grow as well.
We're really encouraging
And maybe a young control. Don't they have
I think that's
how old
for me,
be for that?
I don't know. But if we are in the West End, taking him to the West End to be in Les Mis or something, I think both of us would die.
Yeah. Like the dream died. The dream would be like a Gavroche and
a young Cazaire.
Yeah.
At the same time.
You know people in the industry.
Oh, actually a young Eponine, because there is a girl. Yeah. Is she the one that sings that one?
Whichever.
No, it's Cosette. It is Cosette.
You know people in like when you meet some actors in the industry and they're like, oh, I don't want my kids to do this. We're the opposite. We're like, no, they need to do this.
It was the best thing for confidence and feeling like knowing yourself. And I just think I'd never want to deny that from our kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, when they come from already a stagey household, like they're already going to have that within them.
Totally.
And I just think like, you're not going to stop them from doing it.
No. And Rebel is so flexible.
Really?
My little girl.
Hyper mobile.
Honestly.
We were so happy.
Laid it all the way back.
No way.
It's incredible.
Wait, that's actually crazy because they always say like, no, people aren't born flexible. Like you have to just stretch and blah, blah, blah. But
no,
I feel like some people are.
She's born flexible, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Compared to Rio, she is like unbelievable.
She's like box splits at the age of one.
Yeah.
Wait, how old is she?
Two.
Oh my gosh. And the fact that you're like, yeah, she's really flexible. So she's going to be sex delay. Oh
yeah, that's the dream.
So do you think drama school for them?
You know, I don't want to like project what we want onto them too much, like whatever they want to do. But I just, what I loved about theatre is that like being, having friends around a passion, and it's such a good thing when you're a teenager.
Yeah.
The worst thing is if they're just in the park, like doing nothing. Mm. If it's sport, if it's drama, if it's music, I don't care. I don't really care.
Yeah, but. And I think at this age, it's just about what my mum did for me, just like put me into every single club and then I found my passion. And so that's what I really want to do for our kids, is just like throw them at everything and see what sticks.
And just allow them to have as many hobbies as possible.
Totally.
Because we're so lucky to be able to like experience different things as kids and find out exactly what you said, like what sticks.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's theatre.
Yeah.
All manifesting.
It is you know how
can
like...
imagine if they're like, rugby?
I know.
Cool.
You know,
okay,
sometimes with like dads are like, oh, they have to play football. They have to do drama for something. Like,
that is really important.
It's vital. Just for, like confidence
it
and
so is. And it teaches
speaking.
You so many skills. Yeah. That
totally.
And like you said, for me personally, like my theatre friends and the people who I know through theatre, like bring me so much joy. Not more than my other friends, but you know, bring me so much joy.
Yeah.
And also there's such a plethora of people that go into the industry and you meet so many people from all different walks of life in the musical theatre industry. And I just think it's made my life more
colourful
and fruitful. Is that the right word?
Like, it's so funny, like when we hang out and meet up with other people we went to drama school, there's like this energy between theatre people that just doesn't exist anywhere else.
It's
and it's so
special.
Kooky.
It's
so fun. We're all just a bit kooky.
All a bit wild.
Yeah.
And they can just bring it as well. Like we had a rehearsal of the day with one of our friends and she just bought it.
Yeah, it was like immediate.
I was
the
like,
character.
Oh
was
my
like,
God.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's
weird because this is just what we're like in real life. And I think sometimes when you're on a say like a tube carriage with a load of non-stagey people and you sometimes feel a bit like, oh my gosh, you're the odd one out, but when you're in a room full of people that are all similar to you, it just brings like the room does come alive, which is why rehearsal rooms and audition rooms can be so electric because we all just have this energy, or most of us have this energy that sometimes people are like, whoa.
too much
I think we did like we're doing a live show in a couple of weeks and we did a little run through for our management and they were like, you guys are wild. You're crazy.
It's in our bones. We can't help it. So wait, tell me about the live show.
Yeah, so in less 2.5 weeks, how are you feeling, Stuart?
2.5 weeks?
Excited.
So we decided that we wanted to kind of meet our audience. Like we've been doing TikTok and social media for the last 4 years. And we kind of left musical theatre behind in the 2018 kind of that kind of time, but never left our soul. And we just felt like the right way for us to meet our audience was to put on a show. But it isn't just a meet and greet. It's kind of musical numbers. It's, you know, a bit of everything, really.
Frances is so good at putting a show together. Like, oh, you are. And it's like just every, like, our whole life, like from like TikTok really starting,
yeah,
through to where we are now, and like, yeah, how much our lives has changed in that, yeah, time as
and
well.
And it's taken our story, but then kind of putting it into some sort of musical form.
Which you do so well, even just on TikTok. So I can't imagine what to do on stage. I feel like the TikToks that I personally, I mean, I love them all. The TikToks I personally love is when you put on musicals.
I know. Yeah.
Like, that's where did this idea come from?
It started originally from the yoghurt dance. So we were like,
what's that?
When, so Rio, when he was like, how old was he? Like 18 months.
Yeah.
He just, like, after dinner, he just loved us coming from the fridge and like, oh, oh, oh,
come
hopping and doing a little yoghurt dance.
like that.
He loved it. And so it started from there. And then, yeah, Wicked came out.
Yeah.
And
oh,
then Frances got the stepladder. And then that was it.
Wicked was just his like.
He, like, put that on a postcard. Yeah. Wicked came out. Frances got a stepladder.
And then, did you go to the Wicked premiere?
Yeah.
Like, how good was
it
that?
It was the best thing.
I know.
It was
I've
just
ever
so
been
electric.
To
it was
my
like
life.
The most overwhelming evening,
yeah,
of my life. I got back to the hotel and was like,
yeah, it was
like,
just.
You were in the Wicked Hotel as well.
I was in the Wicked
no wonder
hotel.
You were overwhelmed.
I was literally like, where am I? Like, I felt like I was in Oz. It was crazy.
But it was just like that inspired us. And then we did it for Rio and I think Rebels.
And we started doing Cats and, yeah, all different kinds of musicals.
And they just love it so much. And now we make tickets for the shows and we give them, they get multiple ice creams because we've got to do scene changes and costume changes. So they've got to be kept
and
entertained.
And they love, they just absolutely love it. And then afterwards, like, they want to do the show for us. So they do like an Elsa and Anna show.
Oh, yeah.
That's
which is just
so
cute.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Because you know when you're kids and you put on shows for your parents in,
yeah,
the living room, it's kind of like that,
the
but the other way around.
Right. Well, yeah.
So hopefully at some point, not hopefully, because you guys should never stop doing that, but hopefully you'll just do group performances.
Yeah.
You'll,
yeah,
invite the extended family,
yeah,
around. Like, we're doing a family show,
yeah,
in the living room of our new gorgeous house.
Oh, yeah.
And you should come and join us.
Yeah.
It's like, have you seen Rob Madge's videos?
Yes.
Love
Madge.
All of the videos from their childhood. Like,
yeah. I just wish my parents had filmed my childhood. Like,
yeah.
I just,
where
I'm
was
like,
the video recorded?
I know. I would have loved to see, because I used to love like flags. But I just
what,
like
flags,
just
as in
flags. Like, I just love flags. My brother.
Sorry, I was thinking stagey flags.
Yeah,
so no actual flags.
No flags. So
okay,
like the Welsh flag. The British.
That's why
flag.
He loves Eurovision. So
yeah,
much
loved
as well.
Eurovision.
Okay. They all come
so
out with the flags.
As I've gotten older and I look back at my childhood and I realize all the things that I loved are so typically gay. I'm like the most. I'm like, oh no, there's another stereotype. I'm like ticking in a box. It's like Eurovision. Like, I think gay people really do like competitions and like flags and stuff. Like, I don't know why.
I used to love that gymnastics with the ribbon.
Yes,
oh
I love
God,
that.
Anything that's like,
yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, so I used to like dance around with flags, listening to songs and visualize myself being on stage. And I'm from like the middle of nowhere in Wales. Like,
okay,
there was very little opportunity. I know, mm-hmm, you guys are much more London based, aren't you? So
yeah.
Where did you grow up?
Hayes.
Okay.
Right. What about you?
Basingstoke.
Yeah.
Lovely. You both went, oh.
I don't really know Basingstoke, actually.
Isn't there a lyric in Pirates of Penzance about Basingstoke?
Haven't toured there.
I think there is. There's a random...
There's a random...
Basingstoke's not a big enough town for like the UK tours to go to.
Okay.
But there's two quite good theatres, the Haymarket and the Anvil. Shout out! No, I used to love the local theatres when I was younger. Did you have a local theatre in
Yeah,
Wales?
The Beck.
The Beck. Shout out the Beck.
Shout out to the Beck Theatre.
We go to the Panther there. It's good,
it's,
isn't it?
Oh, I just love that time of my life. It was like where I fully got accepted as well into,
yeah,
theatre. Like, yeah, all of my friends were just having so much fun and it was just the best summer. They used to do like a summer youth project for 2 weeks and we used to do like different musicals. It was just so amazing. I just loved it. So
one thing
much.
About Stuart is his friendships have like stayed really strong from that time.
Yeah.
Like, different to me, but you've got all your core friendships are from that time in your life.
Yeah, that and then my arts ed,
yeah,
friends. They're,
yeah,
like my core people.
They're your people.
Yeah.
So did you have any like youth programs?
Yeah,
where you
yeah, we did, but not the same. But and there was a lot of stuff in Welsh,
yeah,
as well. Like
oh,
in
do you
Wales.
Welsh?
Yeah, doing siarad Cymraeg yn dda iawn.
Dwi
wedi anghofio llawer nawr achos dwi ddim yn siarad gyda llawer o bobl.
Any Welshies out there? There you go. Wait, can you teach me something in Welsh? Hey guys, click the link in my bio. Sorry.
Oh, I'm not joking. Honestly, I'm only just saying, I don't speak Welsh very much anymore.
Oh, did you say that?
Yeah, that's what I said.
I knew that. I translated.
But yeah, so in Wales, like, there's something called Eisteddfod. So every school does it. And it's like a competition where you go and compete with your school and you do like choirs and singing. And like, it's called Adrodd, but it's like saying a poem, but like in everything's in Welsh. It's like a really big thing.
Was there a really viral video of a young girl doing that?
Probably.
I feel like there was. And she was like, she did her poem in Welsh and she won. And then the lady started speaking to her in Welsh. And
she's
like,
I can't speak Welsh.
I don't speak Welsh. Yeah. It was so funny.
It's really popular. Like in schools in Wales, like theatre and those performances are really big, but it's just all in Welsh.
Wow.
But yeah, it was amazing.
Hannah's Hotline.
Okay, so we now have a segment of the podcast. We're going to do a Hannah's Hotline. And I have to use my pitch pipe for this. Bear with. Guys, I'd highly recommend you get a pitch pipe. It's it is a joy.
So beautiful.
What's a pitch pipe?
Ella over there actually bejazzled it for me.
Oh,
and
wow.
I always forget
well
what key to do it in.
Hannah's Hotline. Bow, bow, bow.
Yes, guys. You made all my dreams come true. The phone's ringing. Can you hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Ring, ring. Quick, answer it.
Hello.
Hi, guys. I would love to know what it's like to put on your own show.
Oh,
okay, question. Right, so you can put the phone down and we'll just pretend it's on speakerphone. Because obviously it's a completely working phone. I'm surprised. I didn't know how that worked. You just go around. Anyway.
Yeah, it's an old school phone. It has, you know what, the process of having something in your head and having all these ideas and then making them happen is two very different things.
Yeah.
So in my head, I've like got ultimate budget and ultimate set and all those kind of things. And to be honest, actually, a lot of the show is exactly like we have planned it to be, but then making it happen. So we're doing like a section of the show, which is like bits of all our kitchen musicals, which we call them, like Les Mis, Phantom, what else is
Mary there? Poppins?
Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins.
Sorry, big fan.
Yeah. And something else, Wicked. In 4 minutes.
Wow.
So it was like...
Wait, costume changes.
Costume changes.
I need to see this. Okay, what date is it on, please?
Thursday, 16th of October. So, and in my mind, I'm like, yeah, happens. And then we got in the studio, I was like, oh, this is actually really tricky.
Logistics.
Really tricky. So that's been the challenge, but it's been so much fun.
The costumes are unbelievable. I can't wait for everyone to see the costumes. They are literally... Yeah,
it's not ordered off Amazon, no. But it's like commission costumes.
Oh my goodness! Okay, well, it's just so special, like having ideas actually come out of your brain. I don't know about you, but I feel like my mind's like blah, 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 all the time with, I don't know, TikTok ideas and things like that. And so coming up with ideas for the show and actually getting them out, even just for this podcast, like the idea for this podcast was like 2 years in the making, and then finally like meeting with the production team and putting the podcast on just feels so like fulfilling, doesn't it? And actually like getting it out. Sorry, I thought someone was crying and I was like, I know, it's so emotional. thank you. Producer Sophia is like, yeah, but I did that.
I'm just so grateful to TikTok because, you know, before when we were in the industry, it was amazing. I loved doing shows, but I always felt like I was at the beck and call of someone else. Mm-hmm. I was in someone else's vision, waiting for them. And because of, you know, what we've done on TikTok, I'm creating my own vision and I'm just living out my childhood fantasy and just like living out having fun. And that is just so,
And being your own boss as well. Like being able to create something for yourself and having your own platform that you've got creative control over. I always say that it's one of my favorite things. Like I love being directed and I love, you know, being in a rehearsal room. I have to say all this because I still want to be employed. but truly, I love being in a rehearsal room and I love having a script and knowing what to do and where to stand and to stand on four with my hand on five and stuff like that. But I also love having something for myself and being able to be like on the other side and like kind of producing and directing. And that's what TikTok allows us to do, right? We do it all. We're the lighting team. We're the costume team. We're the camera crew, all of that.
But I have to say, like, watching you, because when we were in the industry, social media wasn't in the form that it is today. And we were quite early adopters of social media.
Yeah.
But it was kind of frowned upon because it was seen as unprofessional. And, you know, you don't want to upset any kind of all these artists. And seeing what you've done and using social media to tell your story and have fun and be playful and create the platform that you have, it's honestly
it's
so inspirational.
It's so inspiring, honestly.
I just love it. I'm living my younger theatre life through you.
So what year did you start socials?
20 well I mean, we've been doing social since like 2014, but like wow, okay. not properly. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Not to kind of like have yeah. a career.
Yeah, it was only yeah. until Rhea came. Really.
Yeah, when Rhea, when Rhea was born in November 2021, that's when we was like, okay, let's.
And it was an accident.
This.
It started from this place of like, we felt like there was zero representation of a family like ours. So we had zero expectation as well of what would happen. We just lent into telling our story in the hope that someday some other couples could come to us and go, yeah. oh, that's how you did it. Or I see it's possible for you. Yeah. That was our initial hope.
Yeah, it was never about like
making money. Or,
yeah, no.
Or,
yeah. or like having a show or no, any of those kind of things that we never thought.
It's like, what's going on?
I know, like what is going on?
But we just wanted to be that representation because yeah. there just was nothing in the UK. And I'm seeing it pop up more and more and more.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And a guy on the train came up to us today. Yeah. He was so nice, wasn't he?
Sebastian.
Sebastian, if you're watching.
San Francisco.
but just having that kind of like recognition of like, I'm so inspired by your story. That is just amazing.
Yeah, it means the world.
That's so amazing.
Yeah.
How's your live show going? Because I know you've done two nights.
I did a show last night.
Yeah.
Feeling hungover, even though that's not like we didn't, like wasn't a thing. Yeah. But it's just like that after show adrenaline crash.
Yeah.
I was in the car home talking with my family and then all of a sudden I was like, whoa, I need to stop talking because I feel like I'm going to pass away. But no, it was so amazing. And like you're saying earlier, it's so amazing to finally meet with real life people and you see all these numbers online and it can feel very... not transactional, but when you see just like the numbers and the usernames, it's amazing, but it doesn't feel real sometimes. Yeah. And it, when you actually see real life people staring back at you, they're all there.
Yeah.
They bought tickets, like they're there to support you.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And it makes me so emotional. At the end of every show so far, we've done two, at the end of every show, I've just been like, thank you guys so much, like crying my eyes out. And it's just like, kind of embarrassing, but we're working with it. I've got three shows left.
Wow.
And it's really exciting. And it's nice to also kind of go in different places. Like we're going to Birmingham, Brighton, and Manchester as well.
Fun.
So yeah, it's really nice to meet people that maybe can't travel to London or just, it's amazing. And it's seeing the parents.
Does it feel different, obviously, from you being like on stage in six to everyone there being there to see you?
Yeah, it's really different for me because I'm playing myself. I'm not playing a character, I'm just being myself. And as much as I'm in show mode, I always say it's like Hannah Lowther mode because it is me. It's just like an extended version of me, and it feels so amazing that people are there to support me just as me, and you guys too, like they're there to support you as human beings, not as, I don't know, Rusty or any of these characters.
Everything you said, that's exactly why we're doing the live show as well, and I can't wait to experience it. And I will be a complete mess. I think I need to like lie down for the next 5 weeks afterwards because all I'm doing is like, it's hard to sleep because I'm just like running through the show in my head and stuff like
but
that.
But it's going to go so fine. Like I can sense already that it's really well planned and it's going to go so well. But like before I go on, I'm like, wait, what am I doing? Like I feel stressed. Like what am I going to do? And then you go out there and it's fine. Like I think when performing is so natural for you guys, like you're going to go out there and, you know, even if things touch wood, it doesn't. Is that wood? Maybe. But like, even if things do go wrong, you can deal with anything.
Yeah,
like, you're natural performers. Like, it's going to be, not me giving you a pep talk.
We need it because last week we had a rehearsal where we tried to kind of, we've got lots of segments in the show where we're just telling our story and chatting. And I had to write some sort of script because we needed something to follow.
Yeah, exactly.
And we tried to learn it and we got on our feet and we just like, crumbled because we weren't being ourselves.
Yeah.
So we've, and Stuart takes a bit longer to learn things.
I do. I'm not a natural script learner.
Yeah. So we just decided that we're just going to be as relaxed. If something goes wrong, we'll talk about it and, you know, just be ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like having I've got cue cards and like there's one song in my show, spoiler, there's one song I sing where I just have the folder with the lyrics in because I'm not gonna I've written it myself. It's a song.
You've written the song yourself?
Well, not the tune. I've ripped that off from someone else. I don't want to give too much away. But I've changed all the words.
Oh, wow.
And this song is like a long song. It was hard enough for me to learn the actual words when I did the actual show. So like changing all the words, I was like, no, I'm just going to have the folder there and it's fine. And people, well, if they had anything bad to say about it, then don't tell me. Actually, don't tell me. But it was
fine.
They
like that. So people are there to see that.
It's natural. Yeah. And it, you know, so I think that's what's also good about social media. It's like showing the backstage of shows and showing like not the finished product all the time is what people really like to see. It's like the real life behind the glitz and glam that they see on stage. Although I feel like your show is going to be very glitz and glam too. So I cannot wait to see it.
It's so funny because whenever if I can ever inspire someone to do TikTok, like you don't need to be a performer, you can do anything. I always say that like the most interesting things are sometimes the most boring things. So whatever you're into, if it's some weird hobby or something, whatever, like, I found that interesting.
Me too.
Like, I watch people like change horseshoes on
only because they look topless.
They are quite hot, but but like, is it called Farrier? You wouldn't have seen that. Like,
I know. Yeah, that's so true.
It's just like TikTok's amazing.
I always talk about it, but like, people were like climbing Mount Everest and stuff. Like, I don't really care about it, but when I watch it, I'm like, wow, that's so interesting. Like, people choosing to do that, and like, I don't know, people who go diving with sharks and stuff like that. Like, I don't actually really have an interest in that, but all of a sudden, thanks to TikTok, I'm like, okay, maybe I do now. Yeah. Like, teach me about it.
Yeah,
it's really cool, and people. It's amazing that we're introducing people to different worlds that they might not experience. And also, sorry, I could talk about this for hours.
No, I love it.
But also, the musical theatre industry is not something that's really taught as like a viable career path at a lot of schools. I'm lucky that my school were just like, okay, she's just going to do what she's going to do. But a lot of schools, they don't, you know, when they sit you down in careers, they don't be like, okay, theatre.
No, it's the opposite.
It's not like a traditional career choice for a lot of people. So to show, especially parents as well, that you know, this is a real thing, and there's so many departments that you can go into,
and I
didn't know theatre was a real job until I was in the Sound of Music at the Palladium, and I saw the adults and I was like, wait a minute, are they being paid for this?
There are things you can do on the side as well as being a performer, as well, as it's like, it's always this thing where it's not reliable, but I don't think any job's really reliable.
Exactly that.
So
just have fun
and go do it.
Just have fun and live your life. Confessions of a Drama Queen. Okay, so we have a confession from a lovely listener, and we're just going to give them some advice, hopefully. Hi, Hannah. I feel like the worst person for admitting this, but I sometimes really struggle being in the ensemble. I love performing, I really do, but when I'm not front and center, I can't help feeling like I've failed somehow. What? I don't want to be that person with a diva complex or ego, but I also can't switch off the part of me that craves the spotlight. Is that normal, or am I secretly a nightmare?
Okay, right.
I think the fact you've acknowledged that it's a diva complex ego thing is good, because it's at
you've
least
got self-reflection.
Self-awareness.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that this is a bad thing.
Yeah.
But I do think it's something that they need to be aware of.
Yeah.
Because
the thing is, I'm the same. When I was younger in my musical theatre career, I really just wanted to play every single lead that was going. And I was like, if I got ensemble, I was like, oh, I'm not sure if I want to do it. Is that bad?
No.
I've always wanted to be the main character energy. That's always.
I love that for you. And also, I think naturally when you do like look at shows, you want to, you know, a lot of people do want to play the leads, and that's what the end goal is.
Yeah, exactly.
I think for me personally, 1, 2, 3, back to me. Sorry. No, but for me personally, I feel like traditionally that is what you're meant to aim towards.
Yeah.
And because also traditionally I've ended up being ensemble cover or alternate and stuff like that, it's something I've had to like reteach myself to be like happy with what I, you know, happy with what I'm doing, happy with what I get. Because it can be draining if your end goal is always to play the lead and you're always just not quite there.
Yeah.
And it's still a learning process for me as well. So I do feel.
And there's progression in everything.
Yeah.
Exactly. So like if you're playing those ensemble parts, that is amazing. Like a lot of my ensemble tracks were that's so much fun.
Yeah, the most fun.
Yeah. It has so much
fun. Like sometimes in the leads, it's quite lonely. Cause I used to do loads of ensemble first cover. And
when you met me, and then I was like, Francis,
he really pushed me to go for more leads.
You were just happy to.
I was happy, but I was scared to push myself.
Yeah.
And I think being in the ensemble of a show is a massive achievement. But I remember going on for the lead, and you're front and center, and you can't see anyone because they're all behind you. You're like, this oh my God, I'm my own. Like, this is like, you know,
pretending he's beside me.
Yeah, literally. So I don't know. I think,
sorry.
And some people graduate and they get straight into a lead and it kicks off their career. And that's incredible.
Yeah.
But like progression, time all comes into it. And I think you just have to just know that every day you're taking one step further.
Yeah.
Closer.
That's so true. Like, obviously it's amazing for people who do leave drama school and go straight into leads. Yeah. But where do you go from there?
Yeah.
You know?
It's harder to go,
to
you know,
continue and not feel like you're then taking a step back, because we all know that it's not that, and we all know that actually the ensemble work really
I'm
not gonna
hard.
Say harder, but they work really hard, and especially covers me, but like especially covers like we
and
have
swings,
a really tough
and
job
swings.
And swings
swing
like,
was a nightmare
they have such tough jobs and you know there's no comparison really because they're so different to the principal parts. But if you're starting in ensemble and you do have this goal to be a lead, then that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, you can strive for that. But also I hope that there's no... I'm sure there isn't, but I hope there's no like animosity or bitterness. Bad juju.
Yeah, you only get success comes your way when you're happy for others.
Exactly,
I think.
Exactly.
But also, I just feel like she just needs, or he just needs to trust the process and it will happen.
Yeah,
it will
focus
happen.
On the step and not the whole staircase. Yeah.
Yes, love that.
I stole that quote from someone, but I don't know who, so it's mine now. Okay, should we do a quiz?
Yes.
They're like, locking in.
France will definitely win this quiz.
Oh, I don't know.
He loves it.
Okay, so I did this quiz in my show last night, so you're getting a little spoiler.
Ooh.
Okay, so you have... I'm actually not going to give you any helplines. Actually, maybe we could do an Ask the Audience. Oh. Ask the studio audience. So you have 5 questions each.
Yeah.
And then you each have 1 helpline, Ask the Audience, maybe.
Musical theatre based.
Yeah. So basically the whole premise of the quiz is because I have a musical theatre quiz book that comes out in a month. A month?
Ooh.
Oh my gosh, maybe less than a month, which is
so exciting.
It's normally here somewhere, but it's currently in the bag for the tour because it's on the set of the tour. But that's okay. It's here in spirit. Les Quiserables. Anyway, this is your official Les Quiserables. What is the biggest theatre in London's West End based on seating capacity?
Palladium.
I'm giving you 4 answers, but I love it. A, the Palladium. B, Apollo Victoria. C, the Coliseum. Or D, Theatre Royal Drury Lane.
I'd say Palladium.
Wrong.
Oh,
it's the Coliseum.
Oh, God.
I know, everyone forgets about the damn Coliseum.
Yeah,
yeah,
2,359 seats.
Oh, crumpets.
Did you not see Gatsby?
No.
Guys. It was brilliant. I loved it.
Oh, damn. Failed on my first question.
What have I seen there?
Yeah. Okay.
Can't remember what I saw there.
0 points to you. I'm so sorry.
Zero.
Hey, question 2. What show... This is about me. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. What show did Hannah not perform in professionally as a child? The Sound of Music, Annie, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, or Oliver?
Is that to me?
Yeah. What did I not perform?
I'm going to go Annie.
Yeah, I just did.
Correct.
Yes!
I did, but it was Amdram, so it wasn't professional. Although it felt professional in my heart. Okay, question 3. Which of the following names is a name of a cat from Cats?
Oh, God.
Jelly Snorum, Bustopher Jones, Shimbleclaw, or Mrs. McScratch?
Bustopher Jones.
Correct. Did either of you do
Jones
Cats?
Jones is
no.
Only in college, like a little project. No, but no,
so you know Bustopher Jones. We love. Yeah. Those extra cat names are really hard to make up. I was like, Jelly Snorum. Okay, question 4. Which of these artists' songs are not featured in hit musical And Juliet?
Oh, we love
Sia, Backstreet Boys, Katy Perry, or Britney Spears?
It's definitely Sia.
Yeah.
Correct.
We love And Juliet. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh, that's
one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It's a really good show. I'm sad that it's not.
Yeah.
And the tour's finished as well. Bring And Juliet back.
Yeah,
yes.
Said it on the pod officially. Okay. Question 5. Which Shakespeare play is the musical Kiss Me Kate based on?
Ooh.
Romeo and Juliet, The Taming of the Shrew, Much Ado About Nothing, or Twelfth Night?
I have no idea.
You can use a helpline if you want.
Hotline.
Ask the audience.
Did it as a 24-hour musical.
Did you?
Amazing.
Taming of the Shrew.
Are you going to lock him?
I'm going to lock.
Are you going to trust Matt?
I am.
That is correct.
Yay!
I don't know how many points have you got.
I've got 1 less than Francis, basically.
Okay, right. Francis, which of these characters does not appear in Heathers the Musical?
Oh, gosh.
New Wave Party Girl, Preppy Stud, Hipster Geek, or Stoner Chick?
Oh my God, this is really hard. That's a really hard question.
What do you mean you're not a fan of Heathers?
No, I love Heathers and I saw it.
Our best friend was
no,
in
but
it.
Yeah. These are all the ensemble, the names of the ensemble parts, which aren't actually mentioned in the show.
Right.
That's so quite hard. New Wave Party Girl?
No, that was my part.
Oh.
Guys, why that for make me feel
was
emotional?
Was it the stoner one?
No, it's actually Hipster Geek.
Hipster Geek.
It was a trick question, really, because we had a hipster dork and a beleaguered geek.
So you'd have to be a real fan to know these ensemble names.
Yeah, but so many people do.
Wow. Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, in the audience, we had the question last night and all the audience was like, no, wrong.
Oh my
she
gosh.
Answered Stoner Chick as well. Yeah. Okay, no worries. We're even Stevens now.
Yeah, perfect.
Damn it.
Question 7. How many Tony Awards did Hamilton win in 2016? 9, 10, 11, or 12?
I'm going to say 11.
Correct.
Oh!
It was nominated for 16, but it won 11.
Oh, great.
Isn't that crazy?
Something, there's
11
a show
20s.
That won, has won 12. I can't remember what that is, but it's like,
recently?
No, I think the most a show's ever won is 12.
Because I feel like Wicked didn't win this many.
No, it didn't, no.
And it Avenue got beaten Q-wise. By Avenue Q. Yeah. That's the T.
Yeah.
What queen is Henry VIII buried with? This is kind of not musical. This is kind of history, but you get the vibe. Catherine of Aragon, Jane Seymour, Anne of Cleves, or Catherine Parr?
Oh, I really don't know. Can I use a hotline, please?
Surely.
Ask the audience. Who knows the answer?
It's the one who sings who's the one that sings Heart of Stone. Who sings that?
You know this. Da, 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 the only one he truly loved.
Jane Seymour.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the Jane Seymour part? That yeah. One? Yeah, okay, perfect.
Henry VIII was buried with Jane Seymour, correct.
Was that the last wife?
No, there was his third.
His third.
Oh, I know.
Crumpets.
And then he beheaded one.
Oh, God.
No, he divorced one. He beheaded one and then he married
divorced,
another.
Beheaded, survived, but then he divorced, beheaded.
And then he got married. He got buried with his third one because that was the only one he actually loved, supposedly.
Divorced, oh, beheaded, wow. Died. Divorced, beheaded, survived. Did you learn that in history?
But then did he get buried with her before the other one died?
Yeah.
Oh, crumpet. So she really didn't feel the love.
Can I give you an exclusive?
You've never seen Six the Musical?
No, we've seen Six
the
Musical.
Love,
okay,
Six
good.
Musical.
So I was about to be
the
like,
the Writers of Six, Toby and Lucy, right?
Yeah.
They have given us permission to perform Better Off Love Story for the first time outside the show being performed.
What, from Why Am I So Single?
Yeah.
That's the finale of our
That's
show.
That's the finale of our show. It's Don't. So amazing.
Honestly, it was like the first song that I had as a vision. I was like, this is the perfect song for our show. And then I had to go, and I knew some people knew some people, but it took some time to get through to them.
Yeah.
And they've given us permission.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. And they're now eligible. That album is eligible.
Yes. For a Grammy.
For a Grammy.
I know. Yeah. I just
so
love.
Can you imagine if it gets... Oh,
I love seeing their success. I just love seeing
their success thrive. We saw the launch of that show and we were like, this show's going to be great.
It was so good. I don't think I've laughed so much watching the show. And it's just...
We can so relate.
Yeah, and it's so current. And like all it really is. I feel like it's so catered to like proper like theatre goers. And like even randomly, like my dad and stepmom, like they love theatre, but I didn't think they'd get like the references and like a lot of the stuff in the show. And it was like one of their favourite shows. They absolutely loved it.
That song Disco Ball. I was like,
oh my God.
Just that representation of a character like Oliver. It was just like,
so
important.
Yeah. Joe Foster. They're incredible. Yeah. So question 9. The chandelier crash is an iconic moment in The Phantom of the Opera. Have either of you done that show?
No.
In which year, me asking your whole CV. In which year did the show first open in the West End? 1884. 1984, 1986, 1988, or 1990?
Who's that question to? Stuart.
Yeah, to me. Stuart. You'll probably know this, but I reckon it'll be 6.
No.
Oh, 4.
84, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I thought Les Mis would have been
84. There's 1986 and there's a 1985.
There's a 4, 6, 8 and 9.
It's a 4, I think. Am I wrong?
You should have gone with 6. I'm so sorry. No. You said 4 and I went... Ugh.
I think Starlight Express is 1984.
No, I thought Les Mis was.
No, Les Mis is 1987. Oh, God.
Okay, why don't you buy Les Miserables so you can find out. Okay, question 10, final one. I mean, kind of works. What year are Les Mis celebrating this year in the West End? 25th, 30th, 40th or 50th?
I know this.
It's 40th.
Yeah.
It's 40th. Their 40th anniversary
in the West End. 84 then. It's 84.
Did you do Les Mis?
No.
What shows did you do in the West End? Sound of Music.
Sound of Music and Oliver.
Was Sound of Music at Palladium at the time?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And Oliver at Drury Lane.
Yeah.
Wow. With Rob Madge.
With Rob Madge. There's so many theatre kids from that show that are now like...
Fully
performing. I love seeing them out and about. And I was like, Oliver kid. That's the end of the quiz.
Woo!
And it was a draw.
It was a draw. Because you didn't get the last one either.
Whoopsie. I lost, maybe.
No, you did. You got 40th. So actually, I think you won because you threw Stuart off.
Oh. I'll make up.
So it feels like kind of sabotage. Right, guys. Thank you so much for joining me on How Very Hannah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being my amazing guest. You can follow them on socials at
Francis Haugen, at Stuart Armfield, or Stuart and Francis on TikTok.
And YouTube.
Gosh, we love it. And YouTube, everything. We love every single platform. Yeah. And if you want to see them in the flesh, you can go to their show on the 16th of October at the Bloomsbury Theatre.
Yes, please come and see us.
Come and see them. I'm going to be there too, for sure. I cannot wait to see you absolutely shine. And I need to see these costumes in real life.
Yeah, it's so good.
Make sure to like the podcast. Give us a little follow. Comment, subscribe, do all the things you guys know. And thanks for watching. I'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.